My name is Trevor Davis. This is April 2nd, 2005. This morning it came to my mind that I should go ahead and use a tape recorder and communicate the word that I'm hearing. In October of 2004, the scripture that says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the Son of Man." And with the meditation, as I meditated upon that scripture, it says also in Hebrews 11:7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God as things not yet seen, moved in fear," etc. And the thing that strikes me about that scripture is that Noah was warned by God. And he was warned about things that were not yet seen. And the significance of that, he moved in fear. And now is, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the Son of Man." Life was as usual. It was marriage, buying, selling, building, planting, eating, drinking. That's life. And up until the very day of judgment. And there's going to be many that do not see the signs that Jesus talked about in Matthew 10, Matthew 24, Luke 17, Luke 21, Mark 13. Specifically, I urge you to read those scriptures and familiarize yourself with what Jesus is talking about, the second coming and the end of the age and the signs of the times. Because Jesus certainly chides the fact that people, particularly those that consider themselves spiritual people or Christians or believers, to not discern the time, that they could tell the signs of the weather but not to distinguish the times and the signs of the times, what is taking place. So the day of the Lord is coming, and there will be severe signs. There will be wars and rumors of wars, pestilence, famines, earthquakes in various places. And Jesus said the end's not yet, but these are the beginnings of sorrows. And he also talked about persecution. And that was the next phase, one of the things that God had revealed, and I've written about this, is the severe persecution that will take place, and that God's people are not prepared at this time, and that God wants us to prepare for the persecution. Of course, when you're prepared for persecution, you realize that this brings glory to God, and it's a tremendous honor. But not to be prepared, Jesus said that many will be offended and will give up, and they will betray others. So that's a severity. If you're not prepared for the day of the Lord and things really start hitting the fan and falling apart and the things that you love are diminished, you'll be offended in your walk with God because you're shallow. You don't have depth or root in yourself, and you'll be offended. You'll give up, and then you'll turn and you'll come against God's little ones. And Jesus said that it would be better for you in that day to have a millstone tied around your neck and you'd be thrown into the sea if you offend one of the little ones of the Lord. So this is a warning and an admonition that you should prepare for persecution that's coming. And the persecution will come from those closest to you, closest affiliations. They, even in your own household, will be your enemy. Remember that the religious system killed all the prophets. That Jesus was executed, even though he laid down his life, but the hands that did it were, as you'll read in Acts chapter 4, it was that the hands of the Gentiles and the rulers of the people of God at that time, and the people. So everyone really had a hand in it, the Romans and the Gentiles and the people of God, or the religious system. And if they have done this to the master, a disciple is not greater than his master. They will also do so to his followers. So just understand that. So also we are appointed as followers of Jesus to go through the sufferings of Christ. So be prepared. Prepare yourself. Align yourself with God. And this is another thing that God is saying, is he is saying that he is judging. That the Lord God is standing up to judge, and the judge is at the door. That his judgments are severe, and they're going to be coming forth in many facets of life, financial, in the earth, in the heavens, the food, in sickness, wars, and many of these things will happen suddenly and at the same time. And what's going to happen is it will be, this is called the distress of nations. It will cause civil unrest, and this is what will cause a martial law to be enacted, because the governments will try to enact control and bring things under control, and this will also bring about a man of peace, the Antichrist, and a false prophet. And those that are not prepared, and those that are not discerning, and those that are like the foolish virgins spoken about in Matthew 25 that have no oil in their lamp, will not understand. And they'll believe a lie. Many will believe false Christs, false prophets, false teachers, false ministries. Many will fall away. This is what Jesus has told us. So the Lord is saying that his judgments are coming forth into the earth. The nation, yes, the United States, and as well as the world and other nations will be judged by God for their gross disobedience. God's going to start with those that profess faith in him. If you'll read Ezekiel 9:6, as well as 1 Peter 4:17 through 18, the judgment begins in the house of God. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, how shall they that are on the outside appear? Please read Isaiah chapter 1. There you'll find that God said he had raised up children and nourished them, yet they did not know him anymore. And he likened them, even a wild beast knew its master, but though God is a master over his people, they don't even know who he is. He said their children were corrupt and liars. And bottom line is God called them back to return, to repent, and to get washed and get clean and learn to do right, learn to do well, help the widow, help the orphan. It's back to the simple things. We want to be about right now what pleases God. But in this hour, the Lord is saying, sound the alarm in my holy mountain. The day of the Lord is at hand. That's Joel 2, verse 1. The Lord is really ready to judge. He's loosing his judgments. There's going to be many, many judgments, many different facets of judgment coming forth. And that's why in Isaiah 26:20 you find God calling his people to come and hide in their secret chamber, that they may be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. There's Psalm 91, Psalm 46, and Psalm 32 all talk about the trouble that the great earthquakes and raging sea and the mountains literally moving. And you want to be close to God. And back to the judgments of God starting with his own people in Isaiah chapter 2, 11 and 12 and verse 17, you will find that God is going to judge the high look, the lofty, the proud. And there's nothing that really offends God is pride. Pride comes before the fall. God detests it. He hates it. And we want to humble ourselves before the living God. Humble yourself before the living God. And we have made gods out of ministries. You know, the word gods is Elohim, which means magistrate, power, and authority. We've made them great ones and mighty ones. And there's no flesh that shall glory before the Lord. No man. Glory not in man, glory not in flesh. But he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. So I'm just telling you as a matter of fact that God is going to judge the high look and the pride and the gods, the elevated, the pedestal, that the Lord has taught that he that is greatest among you will be the servant of all, and that God's true great ones are really washing your feet, are really eating the scroll of God, the living word in this hour, and are waiting upon him. They're humble and they're meek. Consider Jesus. Here he is, the Messiah. And he rides into Jerusalem on a young donkey. If we would only follow the example of Jesus, we would do things so differently. So be prepared for this. God says that the exalted thing, the skyscrapers, it's like an analogy that God has shown me. The man-made things that exalt themselves up into the heavens, they're going to come crashing down. And you don't want to be standing near any skyscraper in this hour. You don't want to be standing near any exalted flesh or man or entity or church or anything, because that which God is bringing down, you don't want to be near it. Go to the Lord. The Lord has shown me that there's going to be a great exposure. In Ephesians 5, it talks about that which is done in secret. It's even a shame to speak of those things, but the light does make manifest. And God's going to be exposing the great evils that are done in darkness and hidden, because they think that the Lord does not see. They think that the Lord has forsaken the earth, that he doesn't act. And God says he hates that. He's going to show he acts, and he requires it. So look for the exposure. You shall certainly see it. That which is done in secret should be shouted from the rooftop. And this is what's happening, is the fear of the Lord is going to be established. They will fear the Lord, and they will regard the Lord. Who shall not fear thee, Lord, when thy judgments are made manifest? A note for you about this alarm. That sound the alarm in my mountain. The day of the Lord is at hand. An alarm is a device that's intended to bring attention to the people that are not aware of something, and to cause you to have a response, a reaction. It's to cause you to run to safety. And if I would give you an example, if you were in your house asleep and your house is on fire, the fire department would come with sirens and lights flashing and with bullhorns, and they would break down your door and call to you to wake you up, and certainly you would grab your loved ones and run out of the house. And this is an hour where we need to have true value on being rich towards God, not on things of this world, because the things of the world and the lust of the world will pass away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. So the passions that are in the body, the things that are esteemed and of value, the Lord Jesus said that which is esteemed in the eyes of man is an abomination to the Lord. God knows your covetousness, is what Jesus said. God knows your covetousness. That which is esteemed in the eyes of man is an abomination to the Lord. Another thing that God has shown me, while this is a day of judgment and judgments, it's also a time of harvest. And you'll read in the book of Revelation that there's angels that are pouring vials into the earth for judgment. And at the same time, there are other angels that are thrusting sickles in the earth for harvest. Because the Lord had said, there was many that had said yes to God, but didn't go after God. And there's many that said they would not, but shall. And this is what we're going to see in these days. There's going to be religious people that won't walk with God and haven't walked with God, but there's people that are of the world that God will reach through by His grace, by His Spirit. Hallelujah. March 11th at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was awakened. I call this the rude awakening. I was absolutely struck by the silence of that hour. And I got up and I looked out the window, and it was so silent and it was so still. It was profound. And it seemed it was the calm before the storm and the stillness before the violent shaking. I sense the shaking is so severe, it's like a wild animal that shakes its prey by the neck unrelentlessly and without mercy. The sense of awe filled me, and I realized that God has endured so long that suddenly he cannot hold back any longer. He shakes his hand, and I could perceive souls crying in terror and sheer horror as the world was devastated in smoke and ruins. This event is so great and fierce. Who shall not fear the Lord when his judgments are made manifest? I was struck by how horrible a way to be awakened from spiritual sleep. I am so aware myself. I want to be where God wants me to be. I want to be doing what he wants me to be doing. I want to be speaking what he wants me to be speaking. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto you in a time when you may be found. Surely the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you shall go. I will guide you with my eye. That's Psalms 32, 6 through 8. Listen to this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the middle of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof. Selah. Psalm 46, 1 through 3. I want to talk to you a little bit about the religious system. We understand as we read the Gospels that all the prophets were executed at the hands of a religious people. Their message was a cry of an individual that had heard God speak, seen a vision, and was broken over the condition of God's people and over the heartbreak of God, and would speak God's words, and yet the word was rejected, and yet they would be opposed to the point of their death would come. Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. And at the hands of the Gentiles and the rulers and the people and Herod and Pilate, everyone had a hand in executing Jesus. This is in Acts chapter 4. Read Acts 4, 1 through 25 and through 27. And it fulfills Psalms 2 and Mark 13, 9. What I'm trying to share with you is that there was a religious system that appeared to love Jesus but really wouldn't serve Jesus. Or it would appear to love God but really wouldn't serve God. It was all an act. And Jesus dealt with this when he dealt with the whited sepulcher. He said, you appear as whited sepulcher, beautiful on the outside, but inside you're dead men's bones and iniquity. And in another place he said extortion. That's hypocrisy. And Jesus talked about hypocrisy being as leaven. And he also explained, if you search out the scriptures, that this leaven is false teaching, hypocrisy, corruption. So there's a religious system that they use God's gifts and calling for their own purposes, for their own exaltation or whatever. God's against that. One thing here comes to my mind is how God has shown me that there are this illusion. Okay, hypocrisy is an illusion. It's counterfeit. It's false. It's pseudo. It's fake. God hates that. And there's people that know a ministry or an institution or a church or whatever is a lie, but they fortify it and strengthen it and serve it anyway. And you say, why would they do that? Well, why would you do that? People do it because of the fear of man, because of the money, that maybe they'll get a paycheck, maybe they have a title or position. Or maybe they love to belong to that thing. You see, the people like to belong to the biggest and the best and the most beautiful. That's the vanity of this whole thing. And the Lord has shown me it's like Pharaoh's palace that wants to make a name for himself, and he forces the people to slave. Or as Jeremiah put it, the priests are corrupt, the prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love it so. The religious system does not please God because it does not really serve God. and it does not receive the messenger of God. Jesus said, if you loved me, you would receive me. And the words of God, what God is speaking, have no place in you. Otherwise, you'd be believing the message. I hope you're understanding. What I want you to see is we have a religious system that pretends to serve God, but really doesn't. Christianese, churchianity, however you want to refer to it, Jesus referred to it as wheat in the tares in the wheat. They look similar, and they're growing. And Jesus said, leave them alone, let them grow together. If you pull up the weeds, or the tares, you might pull up the wheat. So let them alone. But at the second coming, Jesus sends angels to separate the wheat and the tares. And what I want you to know is this illusion of the pseudo-church. The same thing that in Acts chapter 4, that as you will read, you see that we had Pilate and Herod and the Gentiles and the rulers of Israel standing in opposition to Jesus. And they killed him. Of course, he laid down his life for us. But they killed him. And they will do the same to you if you're following Jesus. So I'm asking you to prepare yourself. Now, we are in an era where a few men, because they lust for money and they lust for power, they have illusions. And as the distress of the nations comes forth, the judgments of God and the wars and the calamities, the pestilence, the great sicknesses, they will, because of the distress of the civil distress, disturbance, they'll have to bring it back into order. They will bring to power martial law. Do you understand that? And they will do the same thing because of the Christians that are filled with the oil of God. And the understanding of God will oppose this, because they will establish an illusion, and a man of peace will come on the scene. A false Christ. And there will be a false prophet. And if you're not understanding, you'll be swept up in it. Do you understand how our religious systems today have made this so possible? By the special tax status, the 301(c)(3), I think it's called. Jesus said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and pay unto God what is God's. But when you have a special merging of the church with the government, you're in violation. And this type of status has given the government leeway into the things of God. It's false metron, where it puts the government out of their sphere of influence, their proper influence. And when this distress comes, they're going to use the church, just like in Jesus' day, to execute the opposers, to execute those that aren't going along with the system, the voices, just like in Rome, Quo Vadis. Look at that movie. It was made in the 1950s. Okay? It could sound unpatriotic, what I'm about to say, but you have to realize in these days, this is another thing that's God has shown me. If you are a Christian, you are of a holy nation. You are of the kingdom of God. And your king is the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He represents the invisible Father. And God has set his king on his holy hill of Zion. Read, this is Psalm 2. Yes, we live in the United States of America. We vote, I vote, I'll speak of myself. I vote for my president. And I vote for him, and I hold him accountable to the laws of this land, and that's the Constitution. And I can vote or not vote, and I have liberties in this country, and then we all do, and we should stand for those freedoms. But I'll tell you what God's speaking right now this morning to me about the hypocritical nation. The Lord says that the man that had the power to save a helpless woman from starving to death, did nothing. And this is the same man, the leader of a hypocritical nation that spends in excess of $80 billion to establish democracy in foreign nations such as Iraq, but would not lift a finger to spare a helpless woman from starving to death. Shall not the God of earth judge this thing? He certainly shall. And I want you to understand there's an illusion going on, and the people are asleep and not seeing it. That after 9/11 and the establishment of the Patriot Act in the United States, the officials are free to torture and incarcerate individuals that are viewed as a threat to the nation. Let him that hears understand. That the Constitution gives you the right to habeas corpus, which means you have the right to representation in a day in a court. However, with this new law, the Constitution is outridden, and if you are viewed by whoever, officials, as a threat, you will be incarcerated. And I want you to see, if you could see, that this is how they will go about and execute Christians in the United States of America. And this is how the government will utilize so-called churches, where Jesus said they will beat you in the synagogues. Synagogues are the meeting place for God's people in Jesus' day. And this is how, my friends, this word of God is unfolding in these days. The day of the Lord is at hand. Bow before the Lord and worship him. Seek his face. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you, my friend. This is the great thing, that as you let go of the vanities, as you let go of the things of this age, and you pursue the kingdom, and you be rich towards God, and you love people, and you be filled with the love of God, and you go minister, God will use you for his glory, just like they did in the book of Acts, where the word of God, it grew and increased, and God added to the church daily such as should be saved. This is the true church that you shall see, not the churches of man, but the church is the called out. That's what church means. It's ecclesia, called out. We're going to be coming out of the system. We're going to be coming out of the world. And this pressure that's coming into the earth will bring forth a precious anointing upon God's people. And it'll be a great harvest. There'll only be a remnant, but God will be gloriously glorified. I just share this for you. Be at peace as you seek him. Stand aside from the great skyscrapers that are man-made, exalted, because they're coming down. And just out of a pure motivation to see the Lord glorified, give your life to that. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.